In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off and put them in the temple of the God in Babylonia, and put them in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belteshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned you your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? Then the king would have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these young four men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for raising young people in the history, and thank you for raising them today to make an impact in our churches, in our societies. Thank you for the example of Daniel and his friends, who were able to provide a deep insight in a very corrupted society. We pray that today you will encourage us through this passage, and you will equip us, and you will strengthen our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What similarity between Cambridge and Babylonia? Can you see any similarity? Yes, there are some similarities, because Cambridge is a worldwide university. And here in this text, we are also talking about another worldwide university, the University of Babylonia. Cambridge has impacted the rest of the world. Yes, United States impacted the world with Coca-Cola. But Cambridge impacted Canada and United States with the student movement, ICS, InterVarsity Canada, and InterVarsity USA are the product of Cambridge. Because of what happened with some students, some Christian students here, the student ministry was able to move from this place and to impact Canada and the United States. InterVarsity Canada and InterVarsity USA are the product of UK. At the same time, God continued to use students. And today, as we are talking about mission, I just wanted to bring our attention to the fact that the person who is sending missionaries is God. And when we are talking about mission, we should not focus to ourselves. We should focus to God, because He is the only one who is sending missionaries everywhere, at any time. Sometimes when we receive His calling, like Isaiah, He will send us. Sometimes when we meet the holiness of God, we will ask the question, "Oh Lord, what do you want us to do?" Like Saul in the road of Damascus, when he made a real and genuine encounter with Jesus, when he realized how holy Jesus was, the question he asked was, "What do you want me to do?" Sometimes we become missionary that way. Sometimes God talks deeply to our heart so that we feel the call and we decide to invest our time, our energy to go to mission. Still, God is the only one who is calling us, who is sending us. But sometimes God just decides to send us in a very different way, in an unexpected way. This is why we need to be ready for mission every day. Like the passage we read in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, "Wait here, and when the Holy Spirit will come, you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Samaria, in Judea, to the end of the world." They need to be ready at any time. And this is what happened to these young people, Daniel and his friends. They were not preparing themselves to be missionaries. They were living a good life in their places. They were enjoying the company of their families. But God had a purpose for them in mind. God was preparing them in some ways to send them into mission. And the process was not a process agreed by them. So we need to be ready at any time to go to the mission field. And this is not the first time where God is bringing people to the mission field without their agreement. Joseph was sent by God to Egypt too, in a very unexpected way. He was sold by his brothers. He was a slave. God uses that way to send Joseph as a missionary in Egypt and to witness to the Egyptian people. Nehemiah was also sent as a missionary in a place where he was working with a king until the time came for God to call him back home and to contribute to the reconstruction of the wall of Jerusalem. And he was able to rebuild the wall in 52 days. And when the wall was completed, Ezra came and read the scripture to the people of God, bringing them to revival. Nehemiah was a missionary. Joseph was a missionary. And we can go on and on. And in this context, God has called 4 young people to become missionaries in a very difficult place, like God is doing today. They were young people, maybe around 20s. They were very young. Life was open for them. They had projects, like many young people today, having projects, having their careers in mind, investing their times in studies, and Cambridge is a best place for the young people to dream about the future. And I know many young people are dreaming. When I was young people, my dream was to become a researcher. And I did everything to become a researcher. And God enabled me to become a researcher because I work as a researcher and a lecturer at the university in Africa. But God has another purpose for me. He called me to join ICS as a full-time staff worker. And I decided, not in an easy way, but by God's grace, I decided to resign from my position to become a full-time worker until today. I was also invited in some ways by my government to engage in politics, but God's plan was different. We need to be ready every time to be sent into mission. With our agreement or without our agreement, what we need to do is to listen to God and to stand when God is calling us to mission. And here it was a very strange way of sending a missionary. It was in the context of war, a context of occupation. We are not expecting God to send us to mission in the context of war, in the context of trouble. But this is what happened here. The king Nebuchadnezzar took control of their country and he decided to bring to his country, to the University of Babylonia, 4 young children, and they went through some significant and difficult exam, including some physical exams. They need to look good. I don't think Cambridge University are asking you to look good before entering the university. But that was the case. They wanted the brightest people. They wanted the excellent students who are very qualified to bring them to his university. And he knew those students will really make an impact in his society. He was dealing with what I can call chosen immigrants. He decided to choose the best and bringing them to his place. But he didn't realize that he was acting on God's plan. It was God's plan to send young people as missionaries. And those young people have been very well prepared. They passed all the exams. They were the brightest of the bright. They were intellectually very gifted. They were physically very beautiful young men. They passed all the exams. And here in Cambridge, the selection process is also very hard. I know, very difficult. They wanted to have the brightest of the bright. Some colleges put in place very difficult selection processes because they know that those people are the one who will shape the future of the world. They are the one who will shape the direction of the world through their knowledge, through their ideas. And Nebuchadnezzar was a very sharp king. He was a bright leader. He knew what to do, like our countries today who are trying to choose the brightest of the bright. And these young people were brought to this difficult culture. They belonged to the people of God, to Yahweh. They belong to the only God, Yahweh. And here, Nebuchadnezzar was ruling in a very pluralistic society, polytheistic society, with several gods. And himself, he saw himself as God because he was the one to build an idol in his name and asking people to worship that idol. He has a power over everybody. He can put somebody into death easily. He was ruling like absolute, like the God himself. And here you have young people belonging to Yahweh who have been brought in this corrupted society, in this religious society, in this materialistic society. What can they do? What can they do? But God did it in purpose. His purpose was for his name to be known in that pluralistic society, in that challenging society, in that very difficult society, in that corrupted society where the values are up and down. And this was the purpose. And the king, the first thing to do is to change their identities, changing their names. The names are very important in that context. The names are pointing to something deeper. It's not just a family name. And as an African, in my context, you know how important the name is. My name has a unique meaning. It has a significant meaning for my family. My name is telling the story of my family. So my name is an identity in itself. And here, Nebuchadnezzar was trying to change the identity of those young people by changing their names, trying to force them in some ways to change their identity. Their identity is in Yahweh, not in Nebuchadnezzar. So their first challenge is to stand. And mission is also to stand in a very corrupted and secularized society. Mission is not just to go, brothers and sisters. Mission is also to stand in a secularized, in a corrupted society where people don't want to listen to God anymore. Mission is to stand on Christian values, on biblical values, to stand on the truth. Jesus is the only one, and we have to stand on that truth. Mission is to stand. And this is what these young people did. During this celebration of mission, I wanted to challenge us to think about standing as mission. Standing in the secularized society, standing in the postmodern society, standing in the corrupted society, standing in the society where atheists are trying to take control, where people want to put God on the back. God will never be put on the back. God will never be hidden. God will stand, and He is asking us to stand as these young people in our secular society. This is also a mission. And for the young people, for the students who are in this room today, maybe this is why God calls you to Cambridge, to this place where all kind of ideologies, all kind of wrong values, all kind of philosophies are being taught by your professors in the university. You need to stand. You need to stand for God's value. You need to stand for biblical values. You should not compromise. Nobody has the right to change your identity because your identity is in Jesus. They may try to change your name, but they will never succeed in changing your identity. And this is what these young people did. They stood, they refused to compromise. The secularization should not be an obstacle to the proclamation of the gospel, because God is the only one who will enable us to stand if we are ready to stand. And if we read in the chapters following the chapter 1, you can see that those young people wanted to stand and pray the price. They said they will not worship an idol, and they are ready to die. They are ready to put into death. Actually, 3 of them was thrown in a fire, in a very, very big fire. But what happened? Nothing happened to them. In contrary, 3 people sent into fire found themselves being 4 people. Who is that 4th person? An angel? Maybe already Jesus' prefiguration. Jesus was with them, rescuing them, avoiding the fire to burn a single person among the 3, because they stood on God's values. And those young people said, "We are ready to die. Maybe we may decide to die for the sake of the gospel." That's okay, because death is not the end of everything. Why we Christians should fear dying? Death is accelerating our reunification with God. Why should we fear? And those young people under 30s had a clear picture in their mind. They will not compromise. And God, fortunately, because of the plan He had with them, His plan was not for them to die at that moment, because the whole idea is for them to be missionaries in this pagan society who need to hear the gospel. And God protected them. And if God's plan is for us to witness His name in Cambridge, in our universities, He will not allow us to die until we accomplish His mission. He will not allow us to collapse until we finish the task, because He is the only one who sent us in this task. We will collapse only if God's think that this is the time. So that we can say, like Apostle Paul, we achieved the run. We did what God calls us to do. And that was clear in this young people's mind. They didn't compromise. And it's a challenge for us because we easily compromise in our situations as students, as non-students, as professionals. We are not very often ready to pay the price. The price of standing on God's values. The price of standing. 2009, in Tunisia, the young believers of IFES, they were really young believers. They decided to celebrate Christmas. For the first time in their lives, in their new Christian experience, those students were from the Muslim background. And they ask a permission from a school to have their Christmas, their first Christmas celebration. The permission was given to them by the person who was leading the school, and they went inside the school. They locked themselves in the room, thinking that it was a secret. And when they started to pray, to worship, the population of the village turned up with stones, with all kind of things. They wanted to beat those students. And nothing can protect them. And those young students, they are young believers. The only thing they decided to do is to come together and pray. For them, that was their last prayer. But God has a purpose for them. God wanted them to finish the task. And God protected them miraculously. When the village was coming with the storms, a very heavy storm fell down. And that place, it was unusual to see such a brutal rain coming down. And they went in all directions. The only thing I realized was the TV reported that there are some flooding in that part of Tunisia. It was impossible for me to make the connection between these young believers and what was happening in heaven. And later on, their leader wrote to us, explaining us what happened during that time. It was in such a way those young people was delivered from the persecution in their country because the time has not come yet. God was sending them as missionaries to stand in their places, in their own country, and proclaim the gospel. And now, after going through such experience, what can stop them? We have to cool them down because they become very excited. They saw the power of God face to face. That becomes a source of energy. God may not save us all the time. Sometimes He will allow us to be killed. And we should know also that being killed can be a realization of mission. There are in some places where the missionaries were killed and their death opened the door to the progression of the gospel, to the spread of the gospel. God can use us in different ways to go into mission field. And to be missionary is to stand for the truth. Secondly, because these young people stood for the truth, their impact in the society was so great they were able to influence even the king who reached the position to confess that Yahweh is the only God. Being a missionary is bringing transformation and impact in places where God has placed us. And our society needs those kind of missionaries. Missionaries with ideas. Missionaries who can shape the world views. Missionaries who can bring transformation in the society. Missionaries who can point even the rulers of the nations to Yahweh, to the only God, to Jesus. And this is also happening worldwide. There are some young people like you who are making impact in their societies, who are making impact in their countries, who are even bringing their teachers to the knowledge of God, to confess Jesus as their Savior and to become Christian. We have this mission. It's a holistic mission. It's not just about going, but it's about being. A missionary is the person who recognizes his identity in Christ and who is ready to stand. And who is ready 24 hours because God can send you at any time through a normal process like many of us. He sent me through a normal process, but sometime through a very unexpected process, like he did it for Daniel and his friends. They were sent through war. They were sent as migrants. They were sent as students. They were not professional, but their impact was deeper than the impact a professional missionary can do. And this also happened in North Africa. Most of the students converted from Islam background, they did so because few years ago, the North African countries, Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, they have a good relationship with sub-Saharan countries, and they offer scholarships to the students to come and do their studies in Morocco, in Tunisia, in Algeria. And those students, some of them were Christians, and when they move from sub-Saharan Africa to North Africa, they bring the gospel with them, and they become informal missionaries. And when they reach those places, the law say, okay, as a foreigner, you have the right to worship, but you cannot share the gospel with the Muslims. But in a university context, when a Muslim asks you a question about your faith, then you have the right to answer to that question. What the official missionaries were not able to achieve easily, through that way, through that informal way, God uses them to witness to Muslim Christians. And I remember 2 years ago, one of the government realizing the impact those students were making on Muslim students, they decided to send them back to their countries. They were expelled from the country. I remember making some contacts with some of the authorities. And I still remember, one of the Roman Catholic bishops in one of the countries calling the president of that country, asking him not to make such a decision. And after a few weeks, the president turned down his decision, and some of the students were able to come back. And this is how some of the Muslim students came to know Christ. We should not think that God will always send us through a normal channel. How many missionaries are tent making in the world? Maybe God can call you to be a tent maker. Don't wait to receive a formal calling, because God can call you as a tent maker. We have one of our graduates currently in one country, and he is doing a mission in a very, very difficult context. But how he got there? He is somebody gifted in martial art, taekwondo. And he went to that place, and he was able to work with young people, and he was able to take them to win national competitions in taekwondo. And the authorities of that place, realizing his gift, they said, "We adopt you." And 2 years ago, they granted him 10 years visa, which is unique in that part of the world, in Tibet. He is missionary as a taekwondo trainer. This is how God uses people sometimes. And when we are thinking about mission, let us be open to be sent by God through maybe a non-conventional way, through an informal way, knowing that the people, the person who sent, is God himself. And he is doing so because he is walking before us. He is ahead of us. When we are going in mission, we are not going before God. God is already there. He already prepared the way. We are following him. And it is a privilege for us to follow God where he is already leading the way. May this be so for each of us. May we stand for the truth. May we produce more impact in our societies, in our countries, being witness to Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it might please you to send us in Cambridge, in other places, like you did with Daniel and his friends. You have different ways to involve us in your work. Help us to understand when you are sending us in a formal or informal way. And help us to stand for your truth. It may cost us something, our lives, but we know that our life is not in our hands. Our life belongs to you. And help us to fulfill the calling to go all around the world, making the nations your disciples. Help us to be sensitive to the voice of your Holy Spirit. And bless us, and bless this church, Lord, who is committed to the mission, who is a generous church, opening their hands, releasing people, releasing money, releasing prayers. I pray that you will continue to bless this church and to fill this church with people who have the heart to follow you, because You are crying. You are in tears when you see millions and millions of people who don't know you yet. Bless the church and bless us together as we are reflecting on your mission. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.